Welcome to the 3-3 Sports Podcast. It's Super Bowl week here. We haven't had one in a while. You know, we've been mourning over the loss of the Broncos. I know, Kieran, you're on the East Coast. You're pretty close to ground zero. How are you feeling over there?
Yeah, it's different. Everyone here, I'm pretty sure, is either Ravens fans or Redskins fans. So they're all dejected as well.
Yeah, there's been a hit put on Billy Cundiff. I know it's kind of sketchy in that area.
Especially my neighbors, but nothing through the grapevine yet.
Right on. Super Bowl. I think the Patriots can thank the Broncos for getting there. You know, we took out the Steelers there. One of their biggest nemesis in the AFC, you know, them and I guess Billy Cundiff is a friend of New England, I guess. I don't know. He could probably eat there free anytime he wants.
He's like the remember in the '03 NLDS or NLCS when the whole Bartman thing and the Marlins fans were sending him like hotel reservations to come down and watch the World Series and, like being friends like that. I wonder if that's ever going to happen with Billy Cundiff.
I wonder if that's like a good career move, you know?
Because if somebody's going to do it. You know the Boston fans would do it. I mean,
Totally.
They're as big a pricks as you can get in the sport.
But you think, you know, maybe you're a punter or just some random guy on just a not very well regarded team.
Right.
Why don't you just do something like that so then you can move to that city that you helped out? There you go. You're good to go.
He would become the biggest villain in the NFL if he did that, if he just embraced it. But it's like sometimes it's like Sean Avery. I know my first NHL reference on the podcast. But he kind of just took on that role as the douchebag of the NHL.
Yeah, totally. And I know. I mean, you've been to two games this year. Avalanche games at two.
Perfectly valid NHL point from Kieran in the podcast.
And let me ask you this: how many NBA games have you gone to this year?
A staggeringly few. That's a.
Is that less than one?
Yes, much, much, much less than one. There's no basketball to be had over here in Virginia. Why are we the only original colony that has no professional sports team?
Well, you kind of have the Redskins, and I mean, I don't know, they're regional over there. You don't need to have them within your border for you to have a team, you know?
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
Since when are you claiming to be from Virginia?
I don't know. That was the first time that I've ever said we in regards to Virginia, and it didn't feel good when I said it, and it doesn't feel good now.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't like it. So I figure since you love the Red Sox so much, you're obviously going for the Patriots, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, really?
Not even close. I hate Eli Manning so much, and I hate the Giants so much. I mean, this is one of those Super Bowls where I really don't have like a dog in the fight. Like I'm not that big of a Patriots fan at all. The Boston thing only extends as far as the Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox, so not quite to the Patriots.
All right, so you'll be disappointed when they lose to the Giants again, and Eli Manning then becomes better than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
The only thing that I'll be disappointed in is the fact that people will be thinking that Eli Manning is an elite quarterback.
Which is strange when you watch him play. He looks so odd. He gets so dejected. And his throwing motion, he looks like he's just tossing it up, like playing 500. And yet, he throws it on the money, and he's won a Super Bowl, and he's in another Super Bowl.
It's hard. I mean, watching Eli Manning, it's so hard to And the argument for people saying that he is an elite quarterback, well, you can't be an elite quarterback if, like, during the season you play, like, such shit and because of you, your team totally gets written off. Like, he has some awful, awful games. And
right, but the team as a whole reflects him. I mean, when you're watching the whole team play, it's especially when they lose. I mean, they lost seven games this year. It's like the whole team plays like crap, and he just so happens to be a piece of the puzzle. And then when the team plays well, you know, he plays all right. You know, he's just like above average and below average, but not like super good and super bad. He's just like a little bit good or a little bit bad, and then
what's interesting to me is that okay, so the Giants have the three best, like 1 through 3 in their wide receivers. They probably have the three best out of all the teams that made the playoffs, right? Would you say so?
I would say the Packers had a better.
The Packers still,
but it's close. I mean, they lost, so it doesn't matter anymore.
But and the Giants by far have the best front four out of any of those teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
In football. So if you have that, I mean, you could put a semi-decent quarterback on a team like that, and you'd still have a chance. But the thing is, it's weird. Before the playoffs started, if you said that you had, like, if you ranked the quarterbacks of the playoff teams for who you would feel the most comfortable with, like, going to war, like, in the fourth quarter of a tied game in the Super Bowl, a lot there, like Eli Manning is so polarizing because he's so good in clutch situations. He's crazy good, but he's a terrible quarterback. But like it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, how can somebody be so awful when it doesn't matter? It literally, it doesn't matter. And he's so terrible. And then like when it like comes down to it, like he's money.
Yeah. He's, like, I mean, you can't explain it, but he's in the Super Bowl. So yeah, he's like Joe Flacco, but the opposite. He's Joe Flacco if Flacco could win.
He's bizarro Joe Flacco.
Yeah, or Joe Flacco, or they're just bizarro of each other. Maybe they're made for each other. They're mirror images. So enough about Eli Manning and fawning over him. Let's get to the important stuff, the gambling lines and props from the Super Bowl.
I just talked for 2 minutes about Eli Manning. It's weird.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we've ever done that before. Odd. So here's a few props that I saw that caught my eye, and I want to discuss this. Will either team score in the first 6 minutes? Just give me your initial thought.
My initial thought is yes. My after 2 seconds of contemplation thought is I bet this in a previous game during the season. I bet this in the
was it the Cardinals?
It was the Packers-Lions Thanksgiving Day game.
That's right.
And I was like, not only will one team score, I guarantee both teams will score. And it seemed like such a lock to me, so I'm a little wary of that. But it all depends on. I mean, Super Bowls tend to have a pretty slow start to them, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely.
With the exception of
the teams have been standing out there for so long, and yeah, here comes the opening kickoff touchdown, like in Super Bowl 41, was it? The Colts one?
The numbers are too high for me to remember.
Yeah. Well, I know. I remember you had an epic argument over the order of the Super Bowls, of which I ended up winning because we were at our friend's house who had a 56K modem. And it wasn't working that day, so I had to go back to my house, look up. In fact, it was
as it pertained to Madden covers.
Yeah, exactly. You thought you were so right, but nope. So my initial thought was no. The odds are better for no, -105. Yes is -125. This isn't one of my locks that I was thinking of. I just like it. So, yeah, this lock, though, opening kickoff touchback. Yes, -150. No, +125. I would put $100 on yes.
You would?
Absolutely.
That's tough. Because it's like you can make a good argument either way. It's like everyone's going to be pumped up. And if this was any other year, I would probably say no, like absolutely not. Because with the change of the kickoff rule, players were like much more had much more of an opportunity to take it out. But now that they're catching the ball 8 yards deep in the end zone, but it all depends on that player, I guess, you know. But that's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, so I'm leaning towards the it's gonna go through the end zone and I'll just jump up yeah for no reason. And then stemming off of that, total kickoff returns in the game over under 6.5. The over is +160, so if you like a lot of kickoff returns, you know, that's a good payout there. The under is -200. But 6.5 is quite a bit. Especially, you also have to consider what sort of game you think it's going to be. If you think it's going to be a low-scoring game, you're going to want to take the under here because there might only be, you know, six total kickoffs.
So, okay, so in your estimation, during the entire year, what the average amount of kickoffs that would be returned in a game? So was it one every two, one every three? I mean, what do you think? Because since it doesn't count, it's not saying are there going to be how many like kickoffs, it's how many returns, right?
Yeah.
So to win that, there would need to be seven kickoff returns. And if there are seven scores, that's putting up a decent amount of points. But not every kickoff gets returned. So I would say under on that.
Yeah, that's my initial thing. I think that's why it's minus 200.
Yeah.
I like that. And then staying with the kicking game, lock. Both teams will make 33-yard or longer field goals. Yes, plus 145. No, minus 175. That's an absolute lock for yes. They're just throwing those odds right at you. They're like, here you go. Here's a little bump. Here's some free money.
I agree because, A, you have the Giants defense, which will undoubtedly hold – Tom Brady at least once, and they'll have to kick some 41-yard field goal. And then B, I don't entirely trust Eli Manning in the first three quarters of the game, so he'll do something to throw it away, and they'll have to kick some 39-yard field goal. That's a lock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a lock in the first quarter. Maybe I should reread it to say it, but I checked it, and it's through the full game. So those are my four prop bets that I really like. I really don't think I'm going to try to pick a winner in this game because it always I never feel like satisfied with the outcome because I'm like, oh, because I always pick it wrong. But if it's like stupid things like kickoffs and kick returns and field goals, that's great.
Oh yeah, I mean the more obscure you can get in the Super Bowl with avoiding anything of real consequence, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about, yeah, just random plays, kickoffs. Like, that's my focus.
One thing that I saw that I like is the total amount of Patriots rushing yards. It's set at 101.5. There is no way on this earth that they go over that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I don't know that they have gone over that total for this entire year.
Well, I would, you know, tend to disagree.
The only thing that I'm afraid of is that if Gronkowski is actually that hurt, they're going to try and utilize Aaron Hernandez a lot more, and that means through the running game as well.
Yeah, he's tricky like that. I don't think the Broncos really knew what was coming when he was running out of the backfield. They were very confused.
Right, but I think the Giants took a long look at that, and they're not going to be surprised like our donkeys were.
No, definitely not. So, I mean, I like it, though. I mean, you know, they'll hit 98 yards. It'll be right there, and they'll be, you know, midway third quarter. They'll be at 98, and you'll be like, oh, my God. And then they'll go over, and then they'll take a knee at some point in the game that'll set them back, like, minus three, and that's why you'll win.
See, this has such good potential for a cover like a la Grievous Vasquez in the last year's NBA playoffs, where the game is totally out of reach, and then at the last second he nails a three and seals it for my parlay. I could totally see the Patriots being up by three and the Giants driving down to tie the game or win the game, and Eli either doesn't convert a fourth down or throws an interception, and Tom Brady takes a couple of knees, taking that total rushing yards from 102 down to 100 and winning that backdoor cover.
Yeah, would that be beautiful? I was reading Bill Barnwell's article on Grantland outlining some of the props he liked. Some of the interesting ones are those the extended lines. I'm not sure the right name for it. Let me have a look here. It's basically if you think the Patriots are going to crush the Giants by 14, you can bet on a line that's 14 and a half.
Right. And so if it goes over that, you know, it's a plus 400, something like that. And there's, adjusted line. Here we go. So if you like the Giants just to murder the Patriots, you could do plus 17.5.
Oh, God.
That's for, that looks like 100-1.
I think, is the line still Giants or Patriots by 3?
Yeah, right around there.
It just seems like it's going to be a close game. Especially the way the Super Bowl has gone in the last, basically the last decade. And the two teams and the way that they match up. I mean, if you have Tom Brady, you're never out of a game. And if you have Eli Manning and that Giants defense, you're never out of the game. So I kind of want to – what is the over on the points?
Let me have a look here.
Let me give you some looking it up music. Bump, 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 bump.
All right, bump. Guess.
58.5.
55.
Damn.
So I think that's an under right there, too.
You think they're going to go under that?
Yes.
Yeah, 28, 25, or 27, 24 game.
I mean, the last Super Bowl was 17-14. It can still be a good game. I don't know. My initial reaction for all these are like, you know, low-scoring game, defensive struggle, Patriots scoring points, but not at will. Like, that sort of thing, you know?
It's like, it's never what you think is going to happen. That's something that I've learned in my basketball betting over the
last year's Super Bowl. Remember what everyone thought would happen? Well, you know, the Steelers will keep it close, but I think the Packers, you know, they'll kind of run away with it at the end, and voila, just like that.
I think that I don't know. You tend to bet on something that means that the game's going to be closer. Because it's the last game of the year, the Waterboy, there's no holding back now. So they're gonna
nice. That was a good line. You really made it. Yeah. Made it sound great.
I was stumbling for it. I couldn't. Who's Dan Fouts? Dan Fouts. You got to give me 13 more seconds. I'll figure out who it was. Dan Fouts.
All right. Cool. Well, next week we'll be back on to talk about how they tried the fake field goal on the 34-yarder at the very end of the game that would have given us the lock bet.
Right.
Oh, unbelievable.
Well, I have another prop.
Okay.
Let's see. There was one about over under 1.5 passes attempted by anyone other than Eli Manning. Or anyone other than Tom Brady. Did you see that?
No, but I like it.
Sven, distract the listeners while I look it up.
Right now I'm opening up a box of Girl Scout cookies. I don't know if you guys eat these very often, but they're delicious.
Prepare yourself for a discussion of fantasy baseball. I'm sure everyone is in the baseball mood.
Oh, of course. Well, you see, after the Super Bowl and before spring training, and really before baseball season, spring training is just a little appetizer. It's a time we like to call the dark ages. You know, basketball's good, hockey's good. It's just not the same. You know, it's the dog days of the regular season. You want it to be warmer. You know, everything's still inside. You just want to go outside, play a little wiffle ball. So, you know, 303 Sports Podcast and the 303 Sports website at that will help you get through it. With comprehensive previews of the summer, looking back at all the mistakes Kieran made in the gambling lines, and looking forward to my Vegas trip during March Madness. Is that a good plug, Kieran?
Gave me enough time to point out a couple things. First, the shortest touchdown of the game over under 1.5 yards. I like that for the over.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody getting to the goal line and having something like that.
I see a Tom Brady quarterback sneak. I mean, it's not a lock. And you know how often that players will score a touchdown, but they'll review it and say they stepped out at the half-yard line.
That's true.
Like, those reviews are kind of changing that into that favor.
That's true. But as to my previously plugged bet, I cannot find it. So, oh, no. Here we go. Total number of different players to have a pass attempt, 2.5. That means, is anybody else in this entire game going to get a pass attempt?
No.
It's plus 270. Just with the odd, that's value in those odds. One other player has to get a pass attempt.
You don't think it's value if you look at the total amount of numbers of times that another player gets a pass attempt. I don't think it's that often.
You don't think that Belichick might run Aaron Hernandez on an end around and then have him pull up for a pass?
I don't know. I can just imagine the excitement when Wes Welker is coming around the end and you can see him cocking up, looking downfield, but then he pulls it down.
Oh, it's plus 270. We got to take that. Those are odd. Those are good odds.
Okay. I like it.
So I'm feeling good about that.
All right. You want to switch over to our fantasy baseball?
I want to first say to anybody who wants to see what we do end up betting, follow me on Twitter. It's Kron_303. That's K.
Oh yeah, the new Twitter handle. Yeah, I don't think you had it last time.
Unleashing the new Twitter handle, KRON_303, Kron_303. I'm going to tweet out what our betting things are.
And Kron, if you want to, you can post it too on the blog. You have admin rights nowadays, so congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to do that too. Anyways, moving on.
As I was alluding to with the Dark Ages, something that's going to get us through it is me and Kieran's dream, really, to get in a NL-only league with a $200 buy-in. We're each going to pitch in $100, and it's going to be intense. So throughout the summer, we'll have this podcast every week and just scream at each other because every move is vital to our financial well-being.
The best thing, and let me just tell this story really quick. The people that I know here in Virginia that have come to know me, I've been constantly talking about my blown gambling wagers, and I've really been building up this idea in their heads that I have a serious problem. Until one of them finally asked me how much I gamble on each bet. I was like, I don't know, $3, $4, and they're like, "Are you kidding me? Like, I thought you were losing like hundreds of dollars." I was like, "No." They kind of paused for a second. They're like, "We don't know if it's a worse problem or if it's a better problem that you care so much about $2 and $3 bets."
Yeah,
that's fair enough. But I just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyway, so that's why I'm looking forward to how angry we're going to get at each other, because imagine how I'm going to feel if I think I'm going to lose $100 as opposed to $3.
What's funny is you could lose $3, I don't know how many times, like 25 times over and over and over again. You would be like, you know, it's fine. You lose $100 once and you're like furious.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see it when we were in Vegas last year. So it's just $10. Oh, it's just $10. Oh, it's just $10. Bro, you're down $150. Oh, fuck.
And I really do look forward to be totally irrationally blaming you for things that are obviously not your fault, but I need some sense of control and I need to blame it on somebody.
And there will come a time where we have a player on the DL and the only outfielder on waivers is Corey Hart, and we have to look into our souls to decide whether it's worth it.
I would rather start an illegal lineup than pick up Corey Hart.
Okay. I'm okay with that. That's fine. We have morals. It's like having a Red Wings player on your fantasy hockey team. Not doing it.
For some reason I have four Orlando Magic players on my fantasy basketball team. I don't know how it happened because I auto-drafted, but I have four of them.
Don't they score like 70 points a game as a team?
Yeah, it's not helping the last couple of weeks, or just the last week for me, but I don't check it as much as I should. So I just I just know that I like Mike Conley, and I'm very confused as to my feelings about LeBron James now because he's on my team.
Hmm. What about Blake Griffin? Is he on your team? Does his dunk last night count for more points than any other dunk?
No, it does not.
So just two points? Or I guess, and the foul, so it was three.
Apparently, Blake Griffin is not a good fantasy player, but that's for another time. And by another time, I mean we'll never speak about it again.
Right. Well, he's a friend of the pod, so you don't want to trash him too much.
That is true. I'll tweet him. We'll figure it out. We'll fix it. Let's sure. So, the pod.
Are you still a Spurs fan? Still following?
I'm doing my best. It's tough.
I'm just happy there's Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Do they play during the summer? Does that happen? They don't. No,
that's when they do the Euro. European Championship is this summer.
See, that's what's tough. I don't have the time to follow like another sports team. Like I'm trying my best, but I've got the entire NBA because I'm not necessarily a 100% Nuggets fan. Got the entire NBA. Got football. I've got my stuff here. So.
Yeah, I mean, the amount that we cover, considering we don't have jobs in sports, I think it's fairly impressive. I pat myself on the back here and there.
We could do it. We could do a special edition pod where you talk about stuff that does go on at your work and see how we feel about that.
You want some software internationalization? You going global?
This podcast is getting a little sexy right now.
Yeah, I mean. You know, check out ietnnblog.com. You'll learn all about software internationalization. It's thrilling.
If anyone wants to have an extended discussion about modernism or Mies van der Rohe and architectural things, you can hit me up. But we'll stick to the sports for now.
Yeah, I agree. We'll be back next week. You know, maybe we'll throw in some more articles. Just included Christian Thomas, younger brother. Rocky's Extraordinaire on the blog, so read up on that at @C_JamesThomas. I'm @Spen_CR. He's @Kron_303. Is that right? _?
Yep.
Right on. And this has been the 303 Sports Podcast. We will see you again next week.
Later.